Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Donald Trump defended his administration's policy of forced separation of migrant children from their families at the border. Speaking today at the White House, Trump said he would not allow the United States to become, quote, a refugee facility.
Just remember, a country without borders is not a country at all. We need borders. We need security. We need safety. We have to take care of our people.
The president's hard line comes as a growing number of Republicans joined Democrats this weekend calling for the administration to change its policy. Pressure even came from former First Lady Laura Bush. Writing in the Washington Post, Bush called the Trump administration's policy, quote, cruel and immoral. She wrote, quote, our government should not be in the business of warehousing children in converted box stores or making plans to place them in tent cities in the desert outside of El Paso, end quote. But Trump was undeterred. He doubled down today, repeating his false assertion that Democrats are to blame for a policy enacted by his administration.
Immigration is the fault and all of the problems that we're having, because we cannot get them to sign legislation. We cannot get them even to the negotiating table. And I say it's very strongly the Democrats' fault. They're obstruction. They're really obstructionist. And they are obstructing.
Well, earlier today, we spoke with Congressman Joe Kennedy. We talked with the Massachusetts Democrat before the president made his remarks, because Kennedy is just back from a trip to the southern border. He tried to enter a federal detention facility, that tent city near Tornillo, Texas. The facility reportedly houses teenage boys who arrived unaccompanied at the U.S. border. Those boys have been reportedly moved there to make room in other facilities for children who are being forcibly separated from their parents. So I asked Congressman Kennedy if he was allowed inside the Tornillo detention facility.
We got to the outside of the actual facility itself. We were not allowed in. We tried a couple of times, talked to a couple different officials. They just wouldn't let us in. So,
do you mind if I ask, what did they say? Because this is really shocking to me that we have multiple representatives from the United States Congress being turned away by government officials. I mean, what did they tell you when they said they couldn't let you in?
They just said, you can't come in. And said, well, why? And they just said, because we're not ready for you. And I said, okay, well, who can we, you know, who could make that decision? And they just said, we're not going to do it. And look, part of my job, I go on an awful lot of tours. A lot of people want to make sure things are nice and tidy before members of Congress show up. I understand part of that. I really struggle with, one, when we say, look, we got all day, you know, if you want to clean the place up a bit, fine, but we can come back in an hour. And two, when the main complaint from a number of individuals was the lack of information or the misinformation or the lack of understanding as to what was actually taking place or going on at these facilities, I did bring up the point that if you really want to answer these questions, the best way to do it is to let us inside to take a look. And they said, yeah, well, you got to come back for that. And I said, okay, when? They were like, well, 2 weeks. Well, I don't know why it takes 2 weeks to be able to vet a member of Congress. I've got an idea I can show them right now. Yeah. And so there was no answer to it. And look, the broader point to this, right, is the question that you actually led in with, I don't know if that's true. I was told by one individual that this Tornillo facility did not have any children that were separated from the parents, that this was for only unaccompanied minors, individuals that showed up to the border alone from with ages between 13 and 17 and boys. I have it on very good authority from others that there are, in fact, children who were separated from their families at that facility that are younger than that age bracket. So when you have the conversation with the folks that are supposed to know and you get conflicting answers, and then you hear from the Secretary of Homeland Security that they're not engaged in this practice at all, but you know from the Attorney General and the senior advisor of the president that this was a deliberate choice by the administration, by the president himself, and then you get the Secretary of Homeland Security backtracking again today, the conflicting answers on this over and over and over again leads you to just kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, look, the basic question is, one, are we separating children from their families? And the answer to that is unequivocally, yes, we are. Two, whose responsibility is that? They can point fingers all they want. This rests very clearly with the President of the United States. Three, are they getting the care that they need and deserve? When you have a three-year-old child that is screaming for their mother or their father, no amount of coloring books is going to solve that problem.
I'm so sorry to jump in here, but
please.
I just want to be clear on something. So, because there is so much confusion, But yep. what you're saying is that contrary to reports that we've been seeing from DHS about the young people that may be in this tent city, this encampment, I don't know what you call it, that you have it on good authority that that may not be true, that there may be young kids, younger kids in there who have been separated from their parents and are not unaccompanied minors, and we just do not know what's really going on inside.
Yes. Look, there's a bit of a kind of fancy term of legalese that's taking place where, according to policy that has been put in place, after an individual is, if a parent is traveling with their child and the parent crosses the border illegally, that parent is subject to now, under Trump policy, subject to arrest.
Right.
That then means that that child, under their interpretation, is unaccompanied.
As a result of the action of the United States government.
Yes. Rather than, say, a 15-year-old that left Guatemala by himself or herself. And so when you try to say, well, you're saying they're unaccompanied, but what does that actually mean? We're getting a dodge, one. Two, there is no doubt that the United States government began this practice of separating children from their families about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of the past 6 weeks, according to press reports, there's been nearly 2,000 children that have been separated. The need for these tent cities, the overcapacity that we are seeing in these facilities, coincides quite nicely with that policy. And there's no doubt on who bears the ultimate responsibility for that, because there's no doubt on who changed that policy. And it was the President of the United States. And he can tweet whatever he wants, and he can obfuscate as much as he cares to, and he can try to put this on Democrats. This isn't a Democratic critique. This is the words of Lindsey Graham, the words of First Lady Laura Bush, putting this right back to the person that made this decision and changed this policy, which is Donald Trump.
Just this morning on CBS this morning, Manuel Padilla, who's the chief of the Rio Grande Valley section for Customs and Border Protection, spoke with CBS this morning. And I just want to play a little cut of what he mm-hmm. said and get your response to it. So here's Manuel Padilla from Customs and Border Protection.
Does this seem like a cruel and inhumane treatment to you?
Ma'am, we do that with the United States citizens. Mm-hmm. If a United States citizen violates the law and that person is accompanied by his or her children and they're going through a judicial process, the children are separated from that parent because the kids are not going through that process.
Your response to that, Congressman?
So I was a prosecutor. I prosecuted people for years. If an individual broke the law, they were charged with a crime and they were then released pending there might be, in some limited circumstances, a question of bail. They were not, in fact, separated, aside from extenuating circumstances, severity of very serious crimes, questions as to whether the individual would actually appear in court. They were not separated from the rest of their family. Making the comparison between a United States citizen who breaks the law and how we are treating individuals that are fleeing desolation, violence, destitution, poverty and instability, there's no way you can make that comparison. And the fact that our officials are trying to equate those two systems is a deliberate head fake that doesn't withhold even 2 seconds of scrutiny.
Is there anything that the United States Congress can do to force a change in the policy?
So first, yes, we could pass a law, but that would necessitate Speaker Ryan and Mitch McConnell actually doing something with regards to humane immigration reform. And we have yet to see that happen. We have not had a vote on immigration policy, a comprehensive one, since I have been in Congress. Paul Ryan is touting 2 different bills that we may vote on later this week. One is a hardline bill drafted by the most hardline coalition when it comes to immigration reform in Congress. The other is a quote-unquote compromise bill between some, not all, moderate Republicans and hardliners,
mm-hmm.
where Democrats were not even asked our opinion. And that is their compromise bill. This is a compromise between different factions of the Republican caucus that might not even have enough Republican votes to pass, despite a sizable majority.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Republicans have a chance to solve this problem. Donald Trump could solve it with a phone call. Speaker Ryan and Mitch McConnell could solve it with legislation tomorrow. And they refuse to do it.
You know, Congressman, this feels exactly like what happened with the DACA recipients, right? We have a decision yep. made by the Trump administration that creates a crisis, knowingly mm-hmm. creates a crisis. And then the administration punts to Congress and says, if you pass immigration reform, including funding for the president's wall, the problem will go away. And the reason why I bring that up is we still have outstanding questions about DACA recipients. Nothing has happened there. So ostensibly, these kids could remain in detention by the United States government for how long?
Great question. I asked that question. I was told that the effort for individuals for those unaccompanied minor were trying to find placements for those individuals with either a family member or foster care. When I asked how long that would take, they said part of that depends on how hard it is for them to track down a family member or someplace for them to go. When I said, how long roughly, I got contradictory answers and numbers that didn't add up. So somebody told me that there has been, and that this process only takes a couple of days and they're able to place people rather quickly. And then they said that they've placed 2 people out of 40 pending applications. So I don't know how it's that easy, yet only 2 have been placed and 40 hadn't. And I got no verification of those numbers, right? That's just what I was told.
Congressman, so the facility we've been talking about, we've been told, houses boys and teenage boys. There's been a lot of questions about where girls.
Where are the girls?
Were you able to ask that to any government official when you went there?
Didn't get an answer.
You didn't get an answer?
Nope.
About where they're taking young girls?
Again, this was a conversation that was had in the parking lot with one of the officials that came out, and the individual just focused on the territory in front of her purview, which was, this is what I know at this facility. And we went around in circles quite a bit on that. And so, it's a great question.
Huh.
Yep.
That's disturbing, to say the very least.
Yep.
How can we find the answer to this question?
We keep asking them. Look, I was part of this protest yesterday with Congressman Beto O'Rourke, who represents that area of El Paso and Tornillo. There was another series of my colleagues, led by House and Senate members, that went down to McAllen to another facility. All yesterday. So these were demonstrations that took place all across the country. We will continue to keep the pressure on. The public, I think, needs to keep the pressure on. We need to continue to keep asking questions until we get answers, because the American public deserves to know what the government's doing in their name. These kids deserve to know what future lies ahead of them. Their parents deserve to know what's happening to their children. And the world deserves to know what the country that likes to call itself the leader of the free world is actually treating the youngest and most vulnerable among us.
Well, Congressman Joe Kennedy, thank you so much for speaking with us. Much appreciated.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.